Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from our King, our Lord Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed, brothers, sisters, part of God's family. Once again, as you have heard, welcome home. Not only is this the last Sunday of the Christian church year, allowing us to rejoice in the fact that Christ is our King, but it is also the last Sunday that we'll be focusing on this overall series that has been guiding our thoughts throughout the season of end time. We've been rejoicing in what it means to be able to say, welcome home. To rejoice in each other as family, brothers and sisters in Christ. Being able to come together here, Sunday after Sunday, to do what families do. To build, encourage, support, train. You recognize this chart that has been on the second page of your bulletin, and so we've walked through each of those things. If it's easier to see your service folder than it is this, you can look there as well. But that reminds us of where we've been. As you and I rejoiced in what it means to be welcome home, on our Welcome Home Sunday, we talked about the Christian community. Rejoicing on that particular day, as we've been also encouraging ever since, bringing us together, encouraging us together. Rejoicing in those that perhaps have, for whatever reason, strayed away from the means of grace for a while. What a joy it's been over the last several weeks to see some of those folks back again, hearing the Word, being connected. Rejoicing in what it means to be part of that Christian community. The reason you and I are part of that community is because at one point we weren't. And so on that second Sunday, you and I rejoiced that the lost had been found. That our Lord and our God, in His amazing grace, came to you and to me. The reason you and I are part of that Christian community is not because we wanted to join it, is not because we were looking around trying to find just the place where we thought we fit in. It's because God, in His amazing grace, came in His gospel and in baptism called you to faith. And in His Word builds and strengthens that faith. And in His sacrament increases that faith and that confidence and that trust. We were lost. But now we're found. And God says, welcome home. Reformation Sunday took us to that idea that you are free to be yourself. Free because of what God says you are. Free to be what the Lord has declared you to be. We are now free by faith alone, grace alone, Scripture alone, to be disciples, followers, family. What a joy it is to be welcomed home. And as we stand before that King on that last great day and we face that last judgment, you and I are perfectly safe. That Sunday of last judgment reminded us that even though sometimes the idea of standing before the King and having the pictures of the books opened up and everything written in them being revealed, you and I are coming to a safe place. We are welcomed home here to a place where you are perfectly safe because you are reminded what's in those books. When God gets to that page with your name on it, everything that Jesus did perfectly in your place will be written down. Perfectly safe. You know what the judgment is. Innocent, welcome home. Welcome home to that heavenly kingdom guaranteed for you. And that is a kingdom that is never going to end. And last Sunday, you and I rejoiced as saints triumphant and rejoiced in the fact that now we are part of this everlasting family. This family that you and I were brought into when we were brought to faith is a family that never dissolves, never disintegrates, is always there. We look forward to being with our Lord and with our God forever in that everlasting family. Which takes us to today. Christ the King. Christ is the King who lives and reigns and guides and protects. He is the one who is in charge of a glorious kingdom. And so today you and I once again say, welcome home. Welcome home to a glorious kingdom. To rejoice in that kingdom, we are going to focus our attention on Jeremiah chapter 23, the first lesson that we read moments ago. And as you and I rejoice in the idea that we are welcomed home to a glorious kingdom, Jeremiah does remind us at times that sometimes the kingdom does appear defeated, and oftentimes seems defeated. But even as you and I rejoice in this kingdom, Jeremiah reminds us of why. There are times when this kingdom often seems defeated because Satan has been on the attack. He has been on the attack ever since the garden. And one of his greatest tools that he has discovered is if he can somehow attack from within. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my flock. You have driven them away. You have not taken care of them. Many times the church does seem defeated because Satan uses those false shepherds. Shepherds who claim to be watching over God's people, shepherds who claim to be guiding and directing and getting them where they need to be. But Jeremiah was living at the very last stages of Judah's history, just before Jerusalem falls, the temple is destroyed, and everybody's hauled off into captivity. And the reason all that is going to take place is because God's people have been destroying themselves. And the so-called shepherds who claim for themselves that position and that responsibility were not shepherding. You scattered the flock. You drove them away. You are not taking care of them. The exact opposite of what you would expect the shepherd to do is what the leaders of Old Testament Judah were doing. Instead of gathering and nurturing and protecting and building, they were actually scattering them out, driving them away, thinking only of themselves. You expect the world to be against God's church. You expect the sinful world to be fighting against God's kingdom. You expect unbelief to try to destroy. But how often, here and in the history throughout the world, doesn't it appear at times as if the church is busy trying to defeat itself, setting the word aside, running after the latest fad, trying to come up with something that it thinks works better than the means of grace? And all that is accomplished is the sheep start to scatter. They're driven away from the word towards something else. They're not being shepherded. Welcome home to a glorious kingdom. As you and I look around us, that's what we see, a kingdom that often seems defeated. And yet our Lord and our God does say, even though the kingdom often seems defeated, I am the one who is going to take care of things. Right after he had said to those shepherds, you have not taken care of them, he says, but I will certainly take care of you. Because of the evil things you have done, declares the Lord, I will gather what is left of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pastures. They will be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them. Interesting play on words. The Lord is talking to shepherds and he says, you have refused to take care of your sheep, so I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you in judgment. I'm going to take care of you by giving you what you deserve because of your rebellion, your unbelief, your rejection to me, which then showed itself in how you have scattered my flock. And then, I will take care of my sheep, the Lord says. You drove them out. You scattered them. And I am going to go all over those various countries where they have been scattered, and I'm going to bring back what's left. Even that phrase, what's left, is a little bit of a sad commentary on the shepherds that were there. That remnant is going to once again be gathered. But God's going to go out. He's going to find them. He's going to gather them. He's going to bring back what's left. And He's going to bring them safely back home. He's going to return them to their pastures. And then He's the one who's going to shepherd them. He's going to help them to grow. He's going to help them to be fruitful and multiply. He will shepherd, guide, and protect. Even in the face of attack, even in the face of danger, even when things don't seem to be going well, Christ is the King. And it's His glorious kingdom. As it sometimes seems as if the church is defeated, does this congregation seem defeated? As you look at that picture, you know what's happening throughout Christianity, not just in this congregation, not just in our synod, and not even necessarily just within Christian churches. I've even heard people talking about other organizations who sometimes depend on people coming together, struggling to find folks to accomplish what they want to do. Does it seem as if our congregation sometimes is defeated, perhaps just simply with an apathy? We've gotten so used to it, we've gotten so comfortable, that we just really don't pay that much attention anymore. We just kind of know what's there. And then we go through life and not really think that much about what God has to say. The Bible's open, it's there, but not much happens with it. And then in our own apathy, do we end up training up another generation of people who watch us in our apathetic worship, who hear us say, you know what, God is important, we're going to do this and we're going to go here, and we say all the right things, but they never see it taking place in the home. They never see it actually being played out in life. And this whole church thing just simply becomes a farce. And then there's more than apathy. There's rejection and rebellion. If that's how you are going to talk about your God, and if that's all you think about what worship is all about, then what in the world do I want with it? And the church seems defeated. Unmet needs, lack of people, lack of resources. Does our congregation, does God's kingdom at times seem defeated? Welcome home. Welcome home to our Lord and our God. Welcome home to another thing that seems to be defeat. Perhaps part of the reason you and I say perhaps maybe that's what our churches look like is because that's what our King looks like. That's not much of a king. If that's your king, how can the kingdom possibly stand? The king who has been rejected, the king who has been condemned by the Roman government, the king that was rejected by his own Jewish leaders, ridiculed and mocked by his own people, cast aside as just another wayward itinerant teacher who has outstayed his welcome. Everything about God's church has always seemed to be defeat, because God is constantly using things that are exact opposite of how you and I think they ought to be. Christ is the King. And even there on that cross, as you heard in our gospel lesson for this morning, is the height of His kingdom and the height of what it means for our Lord and our God to make sure that we are part of a kingdom that is a glorious kingdom. Yes, the church often seems defeated, but the church, God's kingdom, is always secure. Always secure. Listen to what God says. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Welcome home to a glorious kingdom, a kingdom that is always secure, because God says they will no longer be afraid. When He gathers those sheep back and He brings His flock back together, there's nothing more to be afraid of. There's no reason to be terrified, because they're back. Home. Safe. No longer missing. And this isn't just God talking. This is our Lord and our God doing. Listen, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, who will reign wisely as king and establish justice and righteousness on earth. In his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. The Old Testament loves that picture. In the days of Jeremiah, you would take a look at that amazing throne of David, that majestic, glorious throne that had expanded Israel's borders to about the furthest that they had ever made it, a kingdom that was claimed to be after God's own heart. And God Himself has said, David, you will always have someone sitting on your throne. But now all of a sudden it looks a little more like a stump. Cut down, burned up, dead, gone. And yet from something that looks dead, a righteous branch is going to come. And when that righteous branch arrives, God will keep His promise. And there will be a king. Not just any king. This is going to be a wise king. He will reign wisely as king. He will know exactly what needs to be done, and He'll also know exactly how to do it. This is going to be a just king. Everything is going to be done for the benefit of His people, not for His own glory, not for His own sake, but guided by justice and perfection. This is going to be a righteous king. Everything is going to be done perfectly in line with God's holy will, right in line with what God says is supposed to be done. That's the kind of king that's coming. No wonder Judah will be saved. And Israel will live in safety. All of those people will be gathered together once again, brought back home to a glorious kingdom, a kingdom that is always secure. Because who's the king? This is the name by which He will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. No wonder the kingdom's secure. Always secure. Because our Savior is righteous. You page through the Gospels and you watch Jesus at work and you rejoice in how everything that He does is righteous. Never one sin, never one stumble, never one fault. Holy, just as God wanted His creation to be. Our Savior is righteous, perfectly lining up with the will and ways of His Heavenly Father, fulfilling all that righteousness and giving the righteousness that God is looking for. But not only is our Savior righteous, not only is He perfect, but our Savior is our righteousness. We're not perfect. We've got more than one fault. We've got more than one stumbling. We've got more than one rebellion. And yet our righteous King, the Lord who is our righteousness, stepped into our history and did what you and I couldn't do. And now He says, you are right in line with God's holy will. You are in tune with everything that God wants. You are seen as righteous in the holy God's sight. Welcome home to a glorious kingdom. And this kingdom is always secure. This kingdom is always secure. The reason you and I are secure, even though there may be times when our congregation and God's church as a whole might seem to be defeated, you and I know that we stand securely because of what we stand on. We are secure because we stand on the means of grace. That gospel and word and sacrament, that's what God said is going to create faith. That's what God said is going to spread His kingdom. That is what God said will support and encourage those already in the kingdom. And so we gather. We come home. We come home to baptism and be reminded that there is where we became part of God's family. We come home to the Word. And there we read about the power of God that gives us salvation. There is where you and I learn about what God has done. We come home to His sacrament, the very body and blood paid to set you free. God's church, God's kingdom is always secure because it's built on what God says. And we're here to repeat what God says. We're safe. Just like that other thief on the cross beside that you heard Jesus talk to in the gospel lesson. Even though everything looked like pain and defeat, today you will be with me in paradise. Whether today is the day that God brings us there or not, you are in God's family. And you are part of His kingdom. And you rejoice in what the Savior, the Lord our righteousness, has done to guarantee you a spot in that glorious kingdom. So welcome home. Even though the series is done, I pray that welcome home is not. It has been an amazing joy to see you here. It has been an amazing joy to see some who perhaps haven't been around that much to be here. Don't let that stop. Don't let that end. It has been a joy to have you here. We need you here. Because here is where you and I are grown. Here is where you and I are encouraged. Here is where you and I remain part of that amazing family of our Lord and our God. And all those things that we've always been talking about have been part of what we do every Sunday and every Monday night when we gather here. To rejoice in the fact that we get to come home. And perhaps especially because oftentimes God's kingdom seems to be defeated. All the more reason to keep coming home. All the more reason to keep being reminded that no matter what you see, and despite what we sometimes feel, God's kingdom is not defeated. But it's always secure. And so welcome home. Now, here, and Jesus will say the same thing at the end of time. Welcome home to a glorious kingdom. Amen.